Dave presents an evening of exclusive stand-up comedy in association with Calm, featuring Joel Dommett.
I was like, Dad, do you love my brother more than me? He went, I've just got more in common with him.
Kiri Pritchard-McLean.
They're either holding an ugly baby or a heavy fish. I don't know why it's those two.
Judy Love.
Where's all my big girls? Okay, some of you are lying to yourself.
And John Robbins.
Never got my head around why 100% humidity wasn't water.
An exclusive stand-up special. Comedy Against Living Miserably. Tuesday, 24th of March on Dave.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings. Joe Wyndham.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels. Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Oops, she did it again. It's Brittany Montano.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
He makes us squee. It's Richie D.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
Ashley Schiavone. She don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day your Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Lisa Wallet. Now that's what I call wallentainment.
Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
We like her more than a smidge, it's Kelly Cartledge.
Better than Taboo. It's Annie and Julie. Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters.
Give them hell, Miss Noel. Kelly Stump, the Stump Master.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
No one can do it like Andrea Jewett.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD. Nancy, cease and desisto. We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. It's me, Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hi, baby.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You guys, Ben just released a brand new episode of Real Housewares of Kitchen Island on YouTube, so go subscribe to that, okay? It's very hilarious. He writes it, performs it, voices it, all that stuff. So go see that. I just finished Rose Pricks, the Bachelor Roast podcast for the season, but we're going to be back for that stupid Bachelor singing show, which is going to be amazing. And
what?
Go ahead.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Bachelor singing show?
Yes. It's like American Idol mixed with The Bachelor. It's like,
wow.
They're in love, but they're also singers.
No.
And Rita Wilson.
Oh, God.
Rita Wilson is a judge, like a guest
Rita
judge.
Wilson?
Yeah. She's a songwriter, I think. Let me see. Rita Wilson, songwriter. Anyway, so we will be
Rita
back
Wilson,
soon.
Tom Hanks as Rita Wilson?
Yeah. You know, obviously shot before. She was stuck in a tent somewhere with Tom Hanks, wherever they are. You know, like that tent from E.T.
Bless
their hearts. Australia, yes.
I know. What's
the hits? You know, everybody out there in the world, hope you're doing okay. I hope you're staying calm and distancing, social distancing.
Yeah, and in case you did not hear, we have had to postpone our March and April shows. So Salt Lake City, Orlando, Charleston, Madison, and Oklahoma City, they've all been postponed. New dates for all of them have not been figured out, probably in the fall, fingers crossed. Your tickets will be honored at the new dates, and if you can't come to the new dates, then you can get a refund at wherever you bought your tickets, point of purchase. We'll have more updates. You know, so far our May shows are still on the books, but who knows? Everything is changing every single day. You know, like last week for everyone. Last week we were like, guess what? We're still doing our shows, and then like the very next day, We even promoted it, and it was actually once we were done with that recording that podcast, we went onto the news, and it's like, looks like we have to change things around. So everything's constantly changing, but for right now, that's the news. So please don't show up at any of these venues, because there is no crappin' show happening in March or April.
But we decided that this week, since it's a bummer, you know, this virus is kicking everybody's ass and, you know, people are looking forward to coming, we decided we're just going to do a live show anyway, and we're going to do it free on Instagram Live on Thursday night, same time as the show would have been, which is 7 p.m. Mountain Time. So that's 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just come on Instagram Live to What Crappens. Okay? Watch What Crappens on Instagram. You'll see it.
Yeah. And we're recapping the part 3 of the Jersey reunion Thursday night on Instagram. Well, we'll be doing it. It'll still be released as a normal episode on our show. But if you want to come watch it, come sort of feel like we're in a live show, then there we go. We'll do it.
So maybe we'll stay a little longer and do some question and answer stuff, because you guys will all be commenting and stuff, and you guys can all hang out together. So that's going to be a really fun night. So join us for that. Take care of yourselves. Don't freak out. And just remember, the world is stupid. Laugh a lot. Laugh as much as you can. So today we're onto a social very distance. Toxic trick of a show called Shaws of Sunset. Mm. Ooh, the toxicity. Yes. Let's swim around in it.
Wow, yeah, talk about toxicity, really. Talk about some people who need to socially distance. It's the Shaws of Sunset.
God, yeah, talk about something that makes you just want to stay at home in the fetal position and not even deal with human beings. It is the Shaws of Sunset.
It is this show, yeah.
Corona be obsessed!
Yeah. A bitch lost 40 feet of space between the next person. That's Reza's PSA. Bitch be like, I want to hang out with you, but bitch be like, I gotta stay home. And so even though you have to lose 40 pounds for be a proper bitch who lost 40 pounds, maybe right now you should stock up on dried foods and carbs.
Yeah, he's a fucking monster of a human being, you know? Never been a Reza fan over here, but God, he really topped himself, and that's saying something. Because, wow, Fresno's really a prick. But, wow, he really topped even this himself, I have to say.
This was a pretty, pretty shocking turn of events at the end of the episode. So the show opens up with where we see flashes of Sarah's pool party. We see, you know, a DJ and a pool party and drinks and Pong and Adam jumping onto a float and falling off, which is something I think he does every single season, and he does it multiple times. At what point is he just going to give up the dream of ever landing on the float and staying on it?
At what point are we just going to give up on Adam, you know? I mean, you're with Reza. You have to be just as bad. I think he's one of those people who's just as bad. He's just like quietly doing it, you know?
Yes.
He's gross too.
I feel like in the beginning with Adam, he was just this nice, mild-mannered guy who, you know, he was sort of like a little prim and proper. And Reza was like, wild and crazy and licking armpits. And it always sort of felt like, why is Adam... This is such a strange couple. Why is Adam like Reza? Where is this connection? But over the years, Adam has become more and more of this strange childlike figure who breaks things. And he's sort of like the kid you invite over and then he breaks all your toys. That's sort of who Adam has become.
He's like a little minion of Satan. You know, he's like a little child minion of Satan. He's like a little hairy child minion of Satan in a movie in the 80s about Satanism, you know? It's like the evil children who kill their parents or like stand in the cornfield with sickles, you know? One of those little fuckers. Yeah.
It's like every time he jumps in the pool and tries to jump on the float and makes a big splash, he reminds me of that child that is always doing that and is just getting everyone else wet. And it's like, stop. Just stop.
Yeah. So we see shots of the party, and we see Nima, who I wrote down Nini. Can you tell I took Real Housewives of Atlanta notes right before this? Nini comes down in a Hugh Hefner robe, and Nima goes, I came, I'm here, guys, I brought a friend. And Rez is like, I am leaving, bitch be leaving. And then we see MJ throwing a drink in his face very forcefully. And then Rez is screaming at somebody, you're a motherfucking liar.
What are you doing? Dude, bro, what are you doing?
I know. Mike's eyes were so wide. It's like he just saw an average person's work schedule. Like, what? What? Why would you do that to yourself?
What? Is this how much work I have to put into that building for real?
So here we are, 48 hours earlier at MJ's house. Yeah. Tommy's like, God, this baby's got so much growth, eh?
Yeah. Wow, I can't even find my little Mr. Met costume I got for him. Where is it? So many piles of clothes.
And MJ's go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that they are still being shot on an iPhone for whatever reason. I guess maybe they had not officially signed on to the show. So maybe there was like a producer with them, because if they had like a camera crew, it would be an official production moment, as opposed to, this is my theory. And that's why she was able to come to the show, because she finally like got a contract with Bravo. Maybe, I don't know.
And that's why they were all so mad that she showed up to the party. I mean, that would make sense, because maybe they thought they just got rid of her finally, so they don't ever have to talk about her or invite her anywhere.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. So that's probably why Reza was so mad, because he probably felt like the producers didn't tell him that MJ had like signed back on to the show. This is all conjecture, by the way, but it feels like it's a really good inconsequential theory about why these scenes were shot on an iPhone.
So MJ is updating us on her life, and she's like, well, my life is basically lots of golden showers because the baby just pisses on me. And it's great. Best present I got is a PPTP, which the baby pisses into, and it blocks you from getting peed on. So
that's my life right now. Golden showers and Tommy.
I'm like, so basically your life is Adam's life.
Yeah, basically, without the Jenga blocks.
Naked shower Jenga. Shut up, Alexa. Nobody's talking to you.
Why of all the things is that when Alexa pipes up? Like, was someone talking about golden showers and naked Jenga?
I know, pervert Alexa.
I know, Alexa. Alexa gets kinky over there.
And you know what? This is why the robots kill us, because I just told her to shut up. She's like, I'm sorry. I'm an asshole now. Thanks.
So MJ starts FaceTiming with Nima, and she's like, wow, Nima, you are really tan right now. He's like, yeah, well, I've decided to expand my brand into the sun, so I've been outside in the sun finding more Persianity, if you know what I'm saying. Hey, and I swear, MJ, you really have a new mom glow. Oh, wait, it's just my veneers reflecting back from my iPhone. Sorry about that.
I know. MJ's like, it's difficult being a blind mother in today's world. And I like that when she says, why are you so tan? He goes, the sun. Okay. But I guess that is a decent question in LA, because you just never know.
You never know where that tan's coming from.
Yeah. So Tommy's like, believe me, bro. She can't wait to get out of here, huh? Take her out of here. Because Nima's invited her to this party at Sarah's.
Yeah.
And he's like, and MJ, I know that there's a lot of drama between you and Reza and Destiny. She's like, yeah, I'd love to hear what they have to say. That would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because MJ reminds us that she was, you know, she had to have this like last minute operation to remove her uterus. And she goes, you know, I was in the hospital and no one came to see me. I came home and no one came to see me. And then which, by the way, sucks and is so wrong, I think. And then she tells this weird thing. She's like, you know what? Reza's favorite thing about Marty, his dog, is that he clasps his paws. And you know what? My baby clasps his hands. And it reminds me of Reza all the time.
God. She's going to be a sobbing mess in church.
She's like, well, I took out a giant sack of garbage and couldn't help but think about Reza. So, oh, signs everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the person who pisses all over you reminds you of Reza. Get out of that toxic relationship.
Yeah.
So then Gigi's condo, pineapples everywhere, and Adam comes over. He's like, hi, pineapples, yay. She's like, hi, lover, where's my cake?
He goes, I ate it by accident. I was like, what? This is what I'm talking about. It's like this sort of shit. Adam does this all the time. He's like, oh, sorry, I ate your cake. Like, you got her a cake. Why would you eat her cake? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Especially if you suspect that she might be having a baby. Why would you have her cake?
Yeah. Well, she's put out all this food for him. So I guess he was like, should I bring something? She's like, yeah, bring a fucking cake. I'd love a fucking cake. I'll stab it. Anything I can stab. preferably, yeah, you know, with red inside. And so he's like, ate it. Sorry.
Remember last season when Reza bought like a $20,000 jewel or whatever it was, and Adam picked it up and just immediately dropped it and broke it right on camera? Remember that?
Yeah. His ring.
Fucker. It was a fucker. He broke. It was the gem. The gem chipped off. It was a $20,000 like green emerald or something. And
you're
then,
lucky that wasn't my diamond octopus, Adam.
Just like he's like a child. But I also think that I believe that Reza has made Adam regress. I feel like there's a dynamic in their relationship where Adam wasn't so childlike in the beginning, but because of their situation, Reza has pushed him into a childlike sort of way.
I mean, I don't remember Adam not being childlike. I mean, I think he's always been like that, but yeah, they probably don't bring out the best in each other. They probably just like keep, because Reza's worse too, you know. You're both worse for it. Now there's a good marriage when you can both say you're worse people for it. At least you're in it together, guys.
Yeah. So anyway, so Gigi starts talking about how the cooking class that they took on the last episode, about how she had that like sharp pain and was scared that she was having a miscarriage. And we see a flashback of how she went home and she went to the bathroom, and you know, it was a big moment of if she saw some sort of, I guess, blood and whatever she was doing in the bathroom, then it could have been a sign of a miscarriage. But then she opens the door and she tells her friends like, "Oh my God, no blood. So should we party?"
Yeah. So she is bitching about Sarah. She's like, about Destiny. She's like, "Well, I was upset because, you know, Destiny has a new personality." And like, she fucks Sarah's brother without asking.
She goes, "Is the dick that much more important than a friendship?" I'm like, they just met. I mean, like, their friendship exists of them going to Sally Beauty on an afternoon and then Top Golf.
Yeah.
Top Shop would have been better.
Yeah.
Would have bonded more there.
And there's a wig behind Gigi. Is it a wig? What is behind her on the couch? I think it's a wig, and it's fucking terrifying. It looks like Katie from Vanderpump Rules just like standing there, you know?
I did not notice the wig. It's something
scary behind her on
are
the
you
couch.
Sure it wasn't one of her three enormous candy bowls that she
hairy.
Has on her? that doesn't one thing has nothing to do with another.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Gigi is a scary person. It could have been a head that she was planning on eating later. I don't know, but it was something scary.
It was her sister.
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, she's like, "Is the dick more important than a friendship?" And Adam's like, I mean, this is also a guy who is like playing naked Jenga, so you know.
Yeah. And she's like, "Well, we need to talk, but I'll snatch that wig off her head." And he's like, "Oh, and she was pulling pieces out of her wig and putting it in Reza's hair." Of course you're like coming over to like shit on this person who just supported you 2 seconds ago, Adam.
Mm-hmm. So, seriously.
Then Reza arrives at, "Let's hang upside down. We are on Bravo.
Yeah, we're going to do some aerial yoga. Hello, is anyone here? A bitch is ready to do some yoga.
It smells like excitement and regret in this place."
Wow, a bitch is going to be upside down. So Sarah shows up. "You know what? A bitch used to be yoked out, but somehow I lost my way. Probably because MJ was feeding me Stouffer's frozen meals day after day after day, because she is a witch from Hansel and Gretel and she was going to eat me. So a bitch gained some weight."
So Sarah comes in and she's really upset because at 1:15, I got two special agents knocking at my door and I was like, "Huh?" And then they served me a subpoena. It's got to be about my ex. My ex, Robert. His life is really playing out in the media right now. Oh, really? R fucking Kelly. Are you kidding me, show? Are you kidding me? You don't already have the worst people in the world on this fucking show. You had to add Sarah, too.
Yeah, exactly. So Sarah dated R Kelly for 3 years, and she's like, "You know, I mean, we had a very adult relationship. And, you know, when I watched this documentary, it was just like shocking. I couldn't believe all this stuff is going on. I mean, maybe if there had just been like a well-publicized scandal and a court case, you know, during the aughts, maybe I would have known. But that didn't happen, right?
Gosh, if only someone had arrested him for child porn. Or maybe if he, you know, maybe if I knew that he had married a 15-year-old once. Like, what the fuck?
Maybe if there was a video of him peeing on a teenage girl, maybe I would have maybe thought twice about getting into a relationship with him.
Fucking monster of a person. Who is this? Get her the fuck out of here. And she's like, well, he goes, well, did you see anything that was described in the documentary, bitch? A bitch. A bitch watches documentaries, right? And she's like, oh, no. She's like, no, I had an adult relationship with him. Well, yeah, I fucking hope so. Jesus. Yeah. What is she saying? Like, she's not handling this well, okay?
Well,
like,
she's basically,
everything that comes out of her mouth from this point on is terrible. She goes, oh, I never saw anyone underage. I mean, it just wasn't a thing. And she's like, but I did find out he had other women, because one day I'm in Chicago and he tells me I'm having a party at my studio, but if you can't be cool, don't come. So I get there and there's a full-on club happening and two more women show up, and that's when it hit me. Are you fucking everyone at this table?
I mean, who would have thought R. Kelly, who is just an upstanding member of our society, could possibly be fucking more people than just me? I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
Wow.
By the way, if your boyfriend says to you, I'm having a party in my studio tonight, and if you can't be cool, don't come, you should be out of there just for him saying that shit, by the way.
Yeah, like, what does that mean?
And how did you meet R. Kelly? How did that happen either? Also.
Yeah, this girl's a monster. She's like, I'm so shocked. I mean, a documentary, I see it, and I'm like, oh my God, the person I loved is like a monster. But that's not who I knew. Shocking.
She's like, you know what? Thanks to the boundaries that I set for myself.
Yeah.
He wasn't able to do that to me. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, thankfully my boundaries saved my life. I'm like, well, congratulations. Like, I'm so happy for you that like you're basically saying all those other people did not set boundaries. I don't know if it's no, I didn't watch the documentary. I'm behind in all my documentaries and pretty much most of pop culture because I spend most of my time board gaming. By the way, check out Game Brain Podcast, which I'm now a co-host on. Yeah. So but still, like, my takeaway from it is that people who are vulnerable, it's not that, oh, they didn't set their own boundaries. They were vulnerable and someone preyed on them, and you can get drawn into a situation very easily. So it felt kind of weird that I know she wasn't trying to be like, I was smart in how I dealt with R. Kelly, so I was fine.
Yeah, but it kind of came off like she was kind of blaming. She's totally victim blaming.
Yeah, kind of felt that way.
What the hell, you fucking moron? And she's like, oh, but, you know, my boundary saved me. And say, you know, probably saved my life. I was like, oh, okay, so now you're a victim, okay?
No, it was that you're over 18 years old is what saved you,
Jesus,
probably.
Christ, this was unbelievable. And then, of course, Rez is like, oh, thank you for trusting me. A bitch will not say anything. A bitch will not say a word. Now you can say something to Mike or to Gigi or to Destiny, but I will not say a word of this to Mike or Gigi or Destiny. He's like dialing on his. He's like starting a group text as he talks.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. My Instagram live was on the entire time. Who would have thought?
Sorry. A bitch says whoops.
A bitch doesn't understand how to use his iPhone.
Wow.
Meanwhile, by the way, I like how he's like, I won't tell anyone. And this clip has been featured in every single trailer for the season. God, your boyfriend, R. Kelly?
This is so, really.
I know. It's funny. So then we go over to a wig shop where Destiny is shopping around, and she's talking about how wigs have always been a part of her life and it's her expression, blah, blah, blah. You know, the usual Destiny bullshit.
Yeah, Destiny's struggling to be wacky as possible. I'm with Sara on that one.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I kind of feel like every episode there's some new, you know, object that is a wacky part of her personality. Hot dogs. Am I right, everyone? Wow. Hot dogs have always been a part of my life. Am I right?
Struggle,
I hear
there's
a great place
muggle
in Atlanta.
Struggle muggle.
Drug smugs. So she's in the wig shop and Gigi comes by to talk with her because Gigi wants to find out what's going on with Destiny's new personality. Blah, 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 blah. And Gigi has never worn a wig in her life, she says. So she starts trying them on.
You had a hairpiece company. Like, just
I forgot how to use extensions.
Like, hello.
It's like the second coming of Kenya Moore.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, it's funny how like many little crossover things there are on ye old Bravs.
And I'm pretty sure we could, somewhere in the past several seasons of Shaz, we can find footage of Gigi in a wig. I'm pretty sure. Maybe yeah. She just meant like an everyday wig as opposed to a costume wig.
Well, I have to check that video and see what the hell was behind her on the couch. Maybe it was just a girl stand. Maybe it was Katie from Vanderpump Rules just facing the corner. Like
Babadooking in the corner. Yeah. An ineffectual Babadook. Just haunting people, but no one even cares enough to feel haunted by her. Like, ooh, there's some weird, like, dark presence over there. But honestly, my popcorn's ready, so I'm not
going to
deal with
it. Guys, my house is haunted, and it basically it leaves me with a feeling of slight annoyance.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I had a sort of unpleasant dream last night, but not that unpleasant because it got better towards the end.
Yeah, it was kind of a bitch, but not really enough of a bitch to pay attention to. Do you know what I mean? And why am I always out of salad dressing?
Yeah, my wall started to bleed. But it turns out you could just, like, wipe it off. And it was, like, fine. It's just sort of annoying.
Yeah. Ranch is easy to wipe off walls, it turns out.
Why am I out of salad dressing? Yeah, it turns out I thought it was bleeding. Turns out it was ranch. My walls were ranching, if that makes sense.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a...
Discover the true story of Marie Curie.
My instinct is that there is another element.
From the producers of Darkest Hour and Atonement.
Science is changing.
Starring Rosamund Pike in a performance that critics are calling powerful and truly stirring.
Leave my laboratory.
If my science doesn't speak for itself, then you have gravely misunderstood it.
The life and legacy of Marie Curie, one of history's most revolutionary women.
This is my fight, and I will win it.
Radioactive, in cinemas March 20th.
Whether you want a beautiful villa, plus peace and quiet, a cozy villa, plus romantic sunsets, or a contemporary villa, plus everything you need close by. At Villa Plus, we handpick our villas to make sure everyone gets the holiday they want. Find and book your villa now at villaplus.com. Villa Plus, it all adds up to amazing. Atoll protected.
Happens commercial.
So they try on wigs, and Destiny's like, oh my god, you look like, you know, you look like a hooker. And Gigi's like, yeah, total whore status. Then she tries on another one, and Destiny's like, oh my god, you look like you smoke a lot of cigarettes. Like, are we going to a buffet or what, Ellie? Which Gigi really did. I mean,
she did. I want her to stay in that wig for the rest of the season. It was so perfect.
Yeah, I lived in Little Armenia in East Hollywood for years, and that I totally could see that. It's like the lady at John's, you know?
Yeah, very, very popular wig east of Western Avenue in Los Angeles. Yeah. It's a hot wig. No, I loved her in that wig. It was cracking me up. I'm like, just stay in that wig. Get a fanny pack, denim jacket. Just stay in that wig.
Yeah. And so Gigi's like, oh my god, that's like so dominatrix, that wig. Speaking of whips, you were pretty nasty at the cooking competition.
No, she was not. Destiny was not nasty at the food competition. They were hanging out, and Reza goes, by the way, Destiny slept with Sam. Like, puts her on blast, and then she's like, I can sleep with whoever I want. It's, like, not the end of the world.
Yeah. And Gigi's like, well, I was irritated, to be honest, because, like, I'm seeing a very different Destiny. Like, you said you used to be out about women power and stuff. Well,
isn't women power being able to fuck who you want to fuck?
Yeah, Gigi's taking her, you know, her little partnership with Reza a little too far. But let's not forget, Gigi's acting nice now, and she has, like, a storyline where, oh, she's trying to get pregnant and things that people can get behind. But Gigi's still fucking Gigi, okay?
Yeah, exactly. So, she's like, you pride yourself on women power and loyalty, da-da-da-da, as if Gigi owes anything to Sara, to be honest. She doesn't. So... Destiny was saying that she and Sam had a great conversation and they really connected, et cetera. And, you know, Destiny admits that if Gigi had a brother that she were attracted to, she probably would have said to Gigi, oh, hey, by the way, I'm starting to feel something for your brother. So she then realizes, okay, well, maybe I'll have a conversation with Sarah.
Yeah. And Gigi's like, thank you. And Destiny's like, yeah, I don't get why people are pissed about this. I mean, Mike has been with so many chicks, and Gigi married Shalom in like a minute. Why are they getting on me? Well, they got on them too. And that's you true. Were one of them, actually,
yeah,
as I recall. So have fun. So then Reza goes to a watch store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he is at a watch store, and he's looking at a $95,000 watch, which I thought he was going to buy, and I was getting all ready to get mad at him, because it was just like a week ago or 2 weeks ago that he was saying things like, well, I don't have any money left because I invested all in shampoo. But I don't think he bought it, so I can't get on my high horse, but I like to talk about it as if I could have gotten onto my high horse. Yeah,
could have. It was robbed. Could've. You robbed me.
Yeah. There was like a high horse, then I got up close and saw that it was just on like a higher piece of terrain, but it was a normal sized horse.
Yeah. Average horse.
It was an average horse on a bench.
Yeah. So, nope, this is a scene centering on Nima's thirst to be taken into some kind of friend group and treated like an actual equal. Yeah. He's like, oh, please be my friend. I'm sure I'll spend thousands of dollars on a watch because I have no personal life to shoot. Sure. Let's do
it. And Leo, so my brand is paying for other brands. So he is going to get his baby's first Rolex. I almost said Rolodex, which would have been funny too. He's like, look, I got my Rolodex. Look at all my brand contact tax right here.
Well, a Rolodex could actually help him in this. Shoot with somebody, anybody. The show is going to cost you a zillion dollars by the time you're done.
I know. Nima, stop it. So at least I feel like Nima's the only one left that actually has a real job at the moment, by the way. At least he's doing something. Rez is not doing real estate anymore. So Reza shows him that fancy watch, and he's like, guess the price. A bitch has to know the price. It's 95K. G-Wagon, G-Wagon, G-Wagon. I've never wanted a G-Wagon to come through and run someone over as much as in that moment.
Well, you know what? I'm 36. It's the best time to buy your first Rolly, huh? Your first Rolly.
Oh, jeez.
So they just ruined Rolodexes. Yeah.
And Rolexes and Rolodexes. And yeah. Rolos.
And Roly-Polies, actually. Fuck yeah, those. Fuck those guys.
Rolls Royces. Yeah. Dinner rolls. Ruined. Roller coasters.
So, yeah, I ran out of Roly things. I've already said Rolos, and I said Roly-Polies, and I was like, I'm literally done. I have nothing else.
Isn't there an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical with roller something or other? I don't know.
Roller skates, but that's Starlight Express.
Starlight Express. Oh, they ruined that too, by the way.
Who did?
The Shahs. Notice it. When was the last time that musical was revived? Tell me. The Shahs ruined it.
The Shahs ruined it.
They ruined it 8 years ago. Yeah. It was going to come back, and they were going to announce it in Times Square on a billboard, and then Shalom like got engaged to Gigi on the billboard, and they're like, you know what, let's cancel Starlight Express.
Yeah. So then we go over to Mike's house, and oh, by the way, Nima spent $6,500. So yeah, you did this to impress Reza, and now Reza is just gonna diss your cheap watch. So have fun. So now we go to Mike's house, and he's just sitting back on his cell phone cracking up going, 50 Cent is just so fucking funny.
You know what else is funny? Your building that's not being built at the moment.
So Paulina comes in. She's like, I got the wagon. Should we put together the wagon?
Doesn't have the same ring as we got the yacht.
I got the wagon.
I know. G-Wagon's really not doing well today.
You know? Yeah, G-Wagons and also regular wagons, or just fabric wagons in this case.
Mike's like, okay, I'll go out and get the kid's wagon out of the car. So he goes out, and she follows him, and he's like, I don't need your help with this, babe. And she's like, I know, but I just wanted to come out with you. And he's like, I love you, babe.
Oh, I love you, baby love.
I want to make fun of that, but there are some times when I do contrive an excuse just to follow Dom around.
God.
Sometimes it's fun to sort of annoy your boo. It's just really it's just really fun.
Love you, baby love.
And he's like, I never thought I would date someone with kids. And sometimes I'm like, Mike, what are you doing? You know, are you ready to be a stepdad? And the fact that Nima said those things, it affects me. And so they show him putting together this wagon while they badly, poorly, like without instructions, which
putting
is so
together
fucking
in air quotes. Yeah. It's like, putting a wheel right in the middle of it. Like, there's no hole for it. He's just like, it's like a caveman. It's like a caveman. He's like the one caveman in the group that hasn't figured out how to make fire yet. He's like being left behind by evolution. He's like banging his rocks together.
I was going to say, yeah, modern caveman, but at least modern cavemen at least sell insurance. You know, they do something for fuck's sake.
So, yeah, he's like, am I ready to be a stepdad? I'm not sure, because Nima's words, they're like ringing through my ears right now. So you know what this is? This is him setting up his future failure in this relationship on Nima. Everything was going great, and then you got into my head, and then I started questioning myself, and now I don't even know. So this is sort of your fault, Nima.
Yeah. Now you have me questioning things. My God. You know, it really hurts. But he doesn't get that Paulina gets my strengths and my weaknesses, because I share my insecurities. And she has an idea that I'm imperfect, but because she loves me and she sees that I'm attempting to do it, she gives me a pass. Wow.
Yeah, I'm sure you're
found a woman who cares that you're just trying. You're just doing enough. Congratulations.
I'm sure your tenants, your future tenants, will really appreciate when there's a leak in their ceiling that at least you attempted to make a nice building.
I know. He's like, but like, I'm on TV. It's like, no, that doesn't work the same as it does in your relationship fight. Okay.
Hi, my balcony just fell off. I need to sue you right now. Yeah, but I tried to make it nice. I tried to make the balcony stay on. What about that?
Oh, that really hurt my feelings. It really hurt my feelings when they called me and told me their balcony fell off. Like, they don't understand how that made me feel.
Yeah. So, you know what? For all those people who like to millennial shame, say that millennials just want credit, want participation trophies and credit for trying, just goes to show there are people like that at any age, even at the advanced age of 57, which I believe is Mike's age. I can't tell. But either way, yeah, he's And by the way, at the end, he puts the wrong wheel in the wrong place in the wagon, and then it gets stuck there, and he has to take out a hammer to yank it off. So this, clearly he's damaged the wheel in the process of this, and I don't even know what that wagon is for. I don't know if are the kids supposed to get in that, the puppies, groceries.
I know, sounds safe, guys.
At one point, it's definitely unsafe at any speed, and that there's going to be a tumbling accident with that wagon at some point.
And Paulina is just like his parents. Good job, babe. Good job. So then MJ and Nima meet for lunch, and he's like, "It's like, hey, you look beautiful." And she goes, "Your teeth look really good."
From what I can see, there's so much glare. It just sort of looks like an interrogation light at a police station. But yeah, it looks great.
I've never looked at somebody and then looked away and see spots like they're still. It's amazing. Like, really good work.
Really great work. Did you notice, by the way, that the girl sitting next to them, when MJ walked in, she like looked up and was like, oh my God, like, I cannot believe I'm sitting next to Shaza Sunset right now.
So Nima's like, all right, let me tell you out of the gate. It's really hard to see what's happening with you and Reza. And the perception of you is that you were like meddling in their marriage. Okay. That's the perception of you. It's like, well, that's total fucking bullshit. I had nothing to do with it.
Wow. Yeah, and then we see a flashback of Ali saying that MJ Ali says that basically MJ said that they're unhappy, which again, I don't think that's the biggest deal in the world if you're like chatting with a friend and be like, I'm not sure about that relationship. It seems like something is wrong. I don't think that's like a thing where you have to now call up Reza and say, is everything okay? It seems like your relationship isn't going well. I mean, like, that's not the way the world works, right?
Well, and why are we not supposed to believe Ali? Or why are we not supposed to believe Ali about anything, but we're supposed to believe him about that? You know, make up your mind. Is he a compulsive liar or is he not? You know,
believe him about what? That she said.
Believe him about all this. Like, we're supposed to just think that he's some thirsty liar coming for Reza.
Well, what I'm saying is,
I know what you're saying. I'm just saying, why are we supposed to believe him sometimes? You know, like, Reza totally believes that he said that. Well, okay, then are we not supposed to believe everything he said? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, if I remember correctly from that conversation that we saw with him and Destiny, he basically was like, "Yeah, Adam keeps texting me things. Here are the things that he's texting me, and MJ thinks that they don't have a." That their relationship is in trouble, right? I don't think it's like the worst conversation to have in the world. But then I guess what we found out later on, that MJ told everyone to go after Reza. That's what they're claiming.
She said to bring it up at lunch, like bring it up on camera, basically.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, so who knows? So MJ's like, well, it sounds like both of them. It sounds like Reza and MJ to do that, right? Like, bring, yeah. Of course, like, if you're going to be talking about this and sending these texts, everything, bring it up on camera. Go ahead. You're having a scene with them. Go do it. I mean, the Reza right. and MJ are both, they both do that shit every season.
They both do that shit. Right. And, like, it's not necessarily of high moral character, but it's, again, it's kind of like, hey, stop bitching to me about it. Just, you know what? If you want it to stop, say it, talk about it on camera, and then it'll stop. You know,
no, I think she's like, fuck Reza, let's get him.
Well, there's that too. There could be that too. Like,
I mean, it's MJ, for Christ's sake. I totally think she was coming for Reza, but
I think the two of them have actually a lot of resentments, because they were always like the number one in each other's lives, and now neither of them are number one in each other's lives. And on top of that, MJ, in addition to that, they both are married and have significant others. MJ now has a baby, and I think that there's some real jealousy on Reza's side about that.
Yeah. So basically she's like, well, that's bullshit. And, you know, he's like, well, I don't want everybody's perception to be that you're just sitting in a hotel room and you're bored and so you're ruining people's lives. And she's like, well, that's my bullshit and you shouldn't be siding with him. So
yeah, he's like, she goes, I'm pretty sure I wasn't bored while I was unconscious. Yeah.
So he's like, well, you know, they're both shit starters, which is true. And then we see a clip of them just like being shitty, terrible people. And then Nina's like, oh, you want support. Yeah. You want buttons. You want queases. It's like Nina from Project Runway.
I love the deception. I love the hatred. I love the lies. It's all wonderful for me.
So he's like, well, you know what? You want support? Here's some support. I'm going to invite you to Sarah's pool party. You're going to be my plus one. Wow, thanks.
So, meanwhile, Destiny is going to lunch. She's in a blue wig, so she's AKA Veronica. And so she's going to have her, her lunch with Sarah to clear the air. And so she sits down and there's like a little bird sitting on a chair next table over. And Destiny's like, can I talk to you, bird? Can I talk to you, bird? Can I? And the bird just flies away. The bird's like, I am not a possum. Okay. I have some dignity. Goodbye.
I know. It's like, sorry, thirsty Ella. You know, like, I'm not your bird, bitch. So then she orders, because I guess Sarah's late or whatever. And Sarah comes and she goes, oh, you ordered already? Like, yeah, how about be here on time? And then she steers clear of the dogs, like, oh, I have to avoid the dog, I'm afraid of pets.
Yeah, well, and by the way, she not only is like, oh, you ordered already, she's like, I'll just have a water. Like, bitch, you weren't gonna eat anything anyway.
Yeah. So Destiny's like, well, I just wanted to go over some things, because of course I got that wonderful text, boo-boo. That was super cute. And I just thought it would be super weird if I came into your house without us having a conversation.
And Sarah, who's like totally annoyed by Destiny, she's annoyed that Destiny already ordered. She's annoyed that Destiny is wearing a wig. She's just probably hates this restaurant. She just has such a sour look on her face. And she just says to Destiny, she's like, yeah, I hope you can come. Like the most uninviting expression of wanting someone to come to your house.
And she goes, I'm not concerned about what happened. I'm just a little uncomfortable because I know it's not a real love connection. Like, you're in totally different places in your lives. I mean, why are you even talking to him? I'm like, oh, now you have a problem with age difference. Your last boyfriend married a 15-year-old.
Yeah. Also, your last boyfriend was, I mean, how much older is R. Kelly than Sarah? Probably 10 years at the very least, right?
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, you're in a different place in your life. I mean, you're old. He's young. He's got a potential. She's got potential in the future, even though it doesn't look like it. But even he has future in you. You know, you've got a wig. So she's in different places.
Well, hey, they both love really stupid hairstyles. So
yes.
I think that's something.
Yeah. So, so Destiny she's all upset. She's like, are we all adults here? I know your brother didn't want you to get with the last dude you were with. That's for sure.
Yeah. And she's like, are you kidding me? That's like me asking what kind of tampon you're using. okay? And Sarah's like, well, so this means you want to keep seeing him? And she's like, what I do in the future, I can't tell you.
Sarah goes, you fucked my brother. And then that dog like raises his head like, what? Like the dog knows English all this time and is like, tell me all the tea.
She's like, yeah, well, first of all, you don't have to be disrespectful and say things like fuck, because that was very disrespectful. Veronica doesn't like the F word, okay?
So I was like, we are not going to do this, okay? I believe I can fly out of this restaurant right now.
So Destiny goes, well, if I decide to talk to him again, she's like, but you're not going to talk to him again. And she's like, nobody's going to tell me how to navigate my life.
Sarah's like, you are something else. And Destiny goes, thank you. Thank you.
She goes, well, I see it's clear that we're very different people, and you take the soul and the energy out of me. And she goes, oh, do I? Am I taking it right now? Did I take your soul? Can I box up this pizza? Thanks.
And I'm talking as someone who dated R. Kelly for 3 years, that you actually take the soul out of me, okay? And I'm trying to be graceful towards you, so I still want you to come to my party tomorrow so I can hang out with my friends and we can judge you from afar.
Yeah.
So just come and just know my brother won't be there.
So Reza in Adam's house. Adam's like looking at his phone. He goes, oh my God, honey, they have a Game of Thrones Monopoly. I don't even know how to play Monopoly.
Are you kidding me?
Fucking
Are you kidding
Adam.
Me? How do you not know how to play Monopoly? I'm not saying it's a good game and that people should be playing it. In fact, you shouldn't be. There are much better games out there, and I'm happy to recommend any of them. Start with Catan. But you don't even know how to play Monopoly, Adam?
Monopoly makes you successful in life. Monopoly makes persons.
Monopoly is a game where someone becomes really wealthy and then slowly bleeds the joy out of a game for hours on end. Okay, it is not what we should be looking towards for life experiences.
God, I loved that game. I would always steal the money out of the box.
Yeah.
Trick my sister. God, she still falls for shit.
I used to love it. When I was younger, I used to love Monopoly, but
I love the Monopoly at McDonald's. I mean, that's obviously
amazing.
Like I needed a reason to go binge on McDonald's as a kid. That's all I
did. By the way, did you finish McMillions?
No, I didn't. I've watched the first three and I really liked it, but I haven't seen the rest of it.
I can't believe it. I actually finished it before you.
You did?
So
I love
rare.
It. Yeah, I started watching The Sinner on USA.
Well, when you finish McMillions, we'll circle back to it because...
That show's great. I love that lady. Well, it's like, oh, he was a mobster guy. And I told him, you listen here, I'm going to call the feds on your ass.
The show kind of loses steam, I hate to tell you. It sort of peaks at episode two and kind of goes downhill from there. But we should talk about it.
Pissed all over my parade, baby Shams.
Sorry.
Thanks
sorry.
A lot.
Sorry.
One of my favorite shows.
Okay. So it's such a favorite show of yours that you went and watched something else in the middle of the season. That
I don't
just shows
like waiting. I hate waiting for things. I want them all to be out.
What are you talking about? How is it that I finished it and you're saying you're waiting? Oh, because
watching I watched
it live.
Three and I was ready to keep watching it. And then I had a 1 second break and I was like, I need to watch something else. Well, guess what? The Sinner's not all released either. So now I have to wait for that. Then I started watching. Oh, who cares? Who cares? No one's listening.
Nobody cares. How do you play Monopoly, Adam? The reason why Adam probably doesn't know how to play Monopoly is that every time he sat down to play it as a kid, he'd probably just like. He's probably like one of those kids that when you play board games with, you're like, okay, so to play the game, you roll the die, and then when you land on a space, you can buy it. And Adam probably like, why? Because you can buy it. Why? Because that's how the game plays. Why? Whatever. And then like if you roll this thing 3 times, you go to jail. Why? And you just want to like, then you're like, I'm never playing games with him again.
Adam, the only child in history to break the little metal dog.
Yeah, and he probably does that too.
It's like the little dog's missing a leg. It's like Adam played, didn't he? Did you have Adam over here?
I feel like I went a little bit into my childhood right then and there, but I also feel like it was worth it because I feel like we all know that little boy that we've like played games with, right? Or is it just me?
He's now a sweater gay.
He turned into a sweater gay.
Is it chilly in here?
So Rez is like, you're an idiot, Adam. So Reza tells us, we are doing so much better post-Jenga. And then we see a clip of them, like, not doing well. I guess this is to update all the people who are on Friday nights going, what the fuck is this show?
I know. Why is there a man dressed in a gingham wearing a bathrobe over it? So they're going to be doing spray tans for the pool party, and Destiny is coming over to join in. And so she comes over, and she starts talking about her lunch with Sara and how it didn't really go so well, blah, blah, blah. And then there's a knock on the door, and who is it? It's just a delightful crossover experience from finding Prince Charming.
Oh my
it was
God.
Robbie.
Robbie. God, I recap that whole show on Rose Picks back in the day, darling. Feels like it was on 20 years ago. And so here it comes does. Robbie. Isn't this wonderful?
He's like, hi, everyone. I know it's your favorite Elizabeth Banks lookalike spray tanner, Robbie.
He is more Robbie than ever. And Reza's yes, like, I want awesome. A darker tan. He's like, you'll be a different ethnicity when we're done, girl. Get over here. He's like the little male version of Tanya from Real Housewives of Atlanta.
He is. And when he showed up on Finding Prince Charming, I was like, oh, God. And then, of course, by the end, just love his adorable little face.
He's adorable. He's like the real life Jack from Will and Grace.
Yeah. And it's our second Finding Prince Charming crossover with Bravo. The first one was Jason, who we talked about this. He had to go on a date with the Prince Charming dude, like go to like one of those salt caves, and they sat there in robes and had awkward conversation. And then turns out Jason is Sonia and Tinsley's makeup artist.
Yeah. And he was like super bitter. He was like whore shaming the bachelor or whatever, the main guy.
Yeah.
Cause they all found out he was a male prostitute. And he's like, I would never date that trash. I'm like, oh, okay.
All right.
Well, there's lots of back there. So here we are. Robbie is putting up a tent to spray them, and we get a Reza underwear scene. You know what? I just don't. Are you guys trying to get canceled?
Like, yeah, we don't need to see that.
Is this whole episode like, fuck this show? Let's just get rid of this show. Okay. We've got a girl who's like dated Robert Kelly. Then we've got the shit that happens with Reza later. And now we have to see Reza in his underwear. Why don't you guys just burn the show? Just burn
Seriously.
All the tape.
Also, I don't know if you noticed it. They opened up the scene, we forgot to mention, with a close-up of an empty picture frame. And then we see a flashback that the frame used to have a picture of MJ and Reza in like 1992. And so now Reza has taken the picture out of the frame, which is just so silly. So anyway, they get their spray tans. And then Reza starts saying stupid shit like, wow, this spray tan reminds me of MJ. And I always imagined the day MJ would give birth. And I never thought I'd be thinking, wait, did this bitch have a hand in coming from my marriage? It honestly makes me so sad that while my friend was nearly on death's door, that I cared more about gossip that was spread from three different people and did not go and see my friend of 30 years. Wow, that makes me sad.
And as Robbie spraying him, Adam goes, watch out, Robbie, that's mine. And Robbie goes, once you got Persian, there's no other version, am I right?
I was like, I don't get it.
Why does that rhyme?
Is that a Monopoly thing?
Ooh, so then the party plan, Sarah's basically getting her party together, and we meet Benny.
Benny,
her gay BF. Benny. And he's like getting everything ready to go and stuff. And then Nima is grooming, and wow, this was another disturbing scene. Nima, you know what? Don't even brush your teeth, okay? At this point, I want those teeth soaked in just cold brew.
Yes, please. Please. Yeah, he's brushing. He's putting powder on his balls, all the good stuff. He's like, I'm already a product of divorced parents, and I've had separate Christmases my entire life. And now I'll have MJ's Nowruz and Reza's Nowruz. I can't deal. This is a lot.
That is so many things to buy. That's like double the things I have to buy to impress them every time I see them. I'm going to go broke.
It's like having two marketing campaigns going on at the same time. It's a lot of brand awareness.
So then Adam and Reza are getting ready. And Adam's like, how is Sarah going to react to Destiny? He's like, you know what? This shirt is so cute. Look at this shirt. Bitch has a shirt that looks good. So she had sex with her brother. Ooh, look at this shirt. So cute.
Ooh, purple and paisley and also chevron all together. So cute.
And Nima's in a robe that says talented. Oh, and we got to see Nima pour some baby powder. Talented motherfucker. I edited out the cuss words because I'm a good person and I don't fucking cuss.
So Nima goes over to he goes over to MJ's house and he meets Baby Shams, which is nice and sweet. This is like our first official filming at MJ's house. And then meanwhile, Gigi is ready to go and she's hired a bodyguard now that she's pregnant because she never knows when things are going to go sideways. It's like, Gigi, things go sideways because you go sideways. It's not
the one threatening to stab people every season. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, come on. You are not like Alicia Cuthbert on 24. Okay, you're not going to be abducted and wind up in a cougar trap.
Yeah, I'm more worried. That bodyguard needs to be for the baby. Can you imagine what's going to happen the first time that baby kicks her?
You did not do that.
So Sarah sees her, welcomes the bartender girl. She's like, you need to do a shot, girls. You're going to need it. My friends are a lot.
Yeah. How is it not going to be sunny today? I mean, are you kidding me? Am I right? Like my first party, it's not even sunny. Oh my God.
And she sees Destiny with her blonde wig. And she's like, God, she is always doing the most.
Yeah.
Look at me.
So people show up. So Destiny shows up with Gigi, as you said, and C. So Gigi and C, a lot of letters. And Reza and Adam show up, and Mike and Paulina. And there's like a lot of, hey, hi, a bitch is going to go swimming soon. Hey.
So then MJ and Nima are in the car on the way over, and he's like, how are you feeling? Now listen, if Reza was given some bad information, it absolves him a little, doesn't it? And she's like, no, he shouldn't have ever believed that hogwash, and you shouldn't be sticking up for him. Could you put this necklace on? He's like, God, you have so much hair.
Yeah, she's like, it's weave. Mm-hmm. And by the way, she's like, can you clasp this? And he like closes and he clasps the necklace. She's like, no, I need you to put it on me. I don't need you just to clasp it like in front of me. So meanwhile, back at the party, Destiny, her stiletto keeps getting caught in the deck slats. And Sarah's just watching from afar like, idiot.
Idiot.
Wear stilettos to a pool party.
So Nima then comes down the stairs. He's like, oh, I brought a friend. And Reza is chewing so hard. Oh my God. Reza's anger chew.
He is mad. And by the way, right before that, Adam does his jump onto the float. And then Gigi goes, yay, Adam. It's like they've literally turned him into the spoiled child that we all hate at the restaurant.
Yeah. So he's brought MJ and everybody's really pissed, except Mike.
Gotta go.
Mike's like, things are getting interesting in this fucking place.
Yeah. Reza's like, all of that betrayal is in my heart and it's right here in my throat. Like, I gotta go. All that betrayal. I'm like, all the betrayal that you're talking about, this is all hearsay from people. And this is your friend of 30 years. And you would rather listen to all this hearsay from someone that you've like what you were saying before, like Ali, who has been shady in the past and who has always been stirring up shit. And then, but now you're like totally willing to give stock to that. You're willing to do that instead of like you're willing to listen to all that bullshit instead of talk directly to your friend, especially when you are saying one of your issues with MJ is that she went and talked to Ali instead of talking to you directly. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I've got more awkward crap in my throat than Adam on game night. So he gets out of the hot tub and he's like, Adam, we are leaving. And Nima's like, Reza, come on, it's 30 years, Reza. And he's like, you should have texted me. And you should have she should have texted me and said, I'm really sorry I sent that queen for you.
Yeah. And Nima's like, you have to stay. There's a different perspective. We're really trying to expand this brand right now. Mm-hmm. And so Gigi is like, you know what? You rolling in with her says a lot right now, bro. It says a lot. And Nima's like, I'm just trying to be the peacemaker. Oh, yeah? How is ambushing a lot of people being peaceful?
Yeah,
like, you guys are the only ones being crazy right now.
Yeah, Gigi. Sorry that someone's not on Reza's payroll like you. You fucking ass kisser.
Yeah.
So MJ is talking to Mike, and she's like, oh, so that little bitch just ran away right now, didn't he? Is he scared?
Yeah. She's like, how dare you? I mean, where the fuck do you think you're going? I mean, this is a person I've been loyal to for 30 years.
And Mike's like, did you instigate things with him and Ali? And can I borrow $100,000? And she's like, no, absolutely
do you know
not.
How to, do you know how to put together a wagon? Just curious.
Will you raise two stepchildren? Just she's like, you know what? When you almost die, you put that shit aside. And he's like, okay, I get it. I get it. She goes, and you don't fall into bullshit gossip. And then Destiny's watching from the balcony like, this wig is going to yell at somebody to prove that she's on Reza's side. It's like,
yeah.
These ass kissers for Reza. My God. How much do they even pay you to do this?
Yeah. And MJ is like, you know what? You show up for birth and you don't fall into any gossip, you know, which people have started. And she's right. Because, yes, even though MJ and Reza totally start so much in each other's lives, I just kind of feel like when it comes to shit like a birth and deathbeds, you kind of put that to the side for like at least an afternoon, you know?
So Gigi's like, yeah, MJ is not a good person. She shits on everyone who's good to her. Okay, can we have some clips of Gigi, like, scratching Adam's neck or, like, threatening to stab her own sister or... No clips? Okay, all right.
Yeah, because also, by the way, she's like, she even came for Adam. I mean, innocent Adam, innocent sweet Adam, he's not innocent. He broke a gem and he doesn't know Monopoly.
I know. A cut to Adam in the hot tub. I think somebody broke the jet.
someone popped the float. The float has a hole in it. Someone did that. I'm like, yeah, who did that, Adam? Who did that?
So Nima runs up to Mike. He's like, he's ordering an Uber. Help me get him back.
And Destiny goes up to MJ and she just starts going, why? Why? Why?
Why? Why? Shut up, Destiny. Okay, you started all this shit.
Yeah, and MJ's like, why what? Why what? She's like, you told them that I told you to bring up Adam's fucking cheating and whatever. Like, you know, and Destiny's like, I never said you. I said I was at lunch with Ali, and Ali brought this up, and I asked Ali why he would do this, and he said, Maris told me to do this.
And she goes, okay, so you're taking the word of some 25-year-old. She goes, that's what happened, Maris. And she's like, then you should have chosen not to believe it. She goes, what? Yeah. And so Destiny's trying to get her Reza points in there.
Yeah.
Instead of just calling MJ, which she could have done at any point during this, had she really had a problem, which she doesn't. She has no leg to stand on this one. So yeah. Mike's like, Mike goes outside to talk to Reza, and Reza's doing that thing where he's just pursing his little thin lips and like... scrolling on his phone for an Uber, and he's like, you know, Reza, there's a 25-year relationship gone because of a pot. You know what, Reza, could you respect me, pay attention to me, stop looking at the phone? He's like, okay, and then he does it. He's like, over a possible rumor.
You're going to throw out 30 years of friendship over a rumor? Here, let me show you the roadmap of how to get back to friendships. Actually, it's more like instructions how to build a wagon. Could you take a look at these, please, for me? Thank you.
Wheels, right? They're so difficult. Who made these stupid things? G-Wagon! So Reza's like, well, fuck that. I'm going to go yell at her. I mean, he really says, like, maybe we can work things out and be in a good place because she's my best friend and blah, blah, blah. So he goes marching back in there.
But he also says this weird thing where he's like, you know, I think that, like, I haven't been thinking clearly because I haven't had my friend of 30 years that I've been in this dark place. And hopefully if I see in her eyes, it will all make sense. So I'm like, you pushed away your friend of 30 years and then... you are blaming the fact that she's not there for why you've been in this dark place and why you pushed her away. I was like, I don't really get that.
Yeah, that's Reza. And also, he's doing this, obviously, after the scene was shot. So he's like making himself sound like, oh, I'm just going to go talk to her because maybe we can work it out. When that's not what he's doing. Like, he's like marching in there with a snit, you know? And
you're right.
He marches up to her while she's talking to Destiny, and she goes, get away from me, just get away. He's like, oh, get away, you're not embarrassed, aren't you embarrassed, why aren't you embarrassed? Shut the fuck up, Reza.
You're not embarrassed. And so then Adam huffs over and he's got like his towel around his neck, like he's like, looks like he's waiting for pickup after swim practice or something, you know, like he's just swimming at his neighbor's house. So he huffs over and MJ is like, you know what, you're disgusting to Reza. She goes, you're a disgusting person, go back to your stupid husband, cheat on each other, go to bathhouses, believe this one who you don't even know.
Yeah, Destiny goes, this one, you know damn well how I have been authentic, okay, MJ? I am authentic. Like, you're in, like, literally a blonde wig right now.
But by the way, we can't overlook the fact that MJ just totally drops a bomb by doing that too. I mean, MJ plays dirty too. Reza plays dirty, but MJ is not afraid to play dirty too.
Oh yeah,
go to bathhouses, cheat on each other, believe you go back to your stupid husband.
Immediately. So he's like, "You are a 50-year-old woman in the hospital, and you're not embarrassed? I'm done with you.
Skimmy against me. Yeah,
bitch doesn't want anything to do with you."
So she just throws a drink in his face, and he doesn't even really flinch. He just keeps going, and Destiny's like, "Not cool. Stop yourself, boy, 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 boy."
And then Adam's like, "Hey, you shut the fuck up. You should be home with your kid. Fuck you."
Which is like the most obnoxious thing men say to women, right? You should be home taking care of your kid. It is such a terrible thing. Not terrible, but it's so layered with deep-rooted misogynist things. Like, that's what a woman should be doing at home, taking care of her kid. It's like, it's so nasty.
Yeah, Adam, maybe you could go home and take care of your kid if your husband hadn't just spent all the money secretly on shampoo instead of having a kid, you little prick.
Yeah, there's that too.
So Adam's like, "You almost died. Go home and watch your baby. What are you even doing here?" And Mike's like, "Oh my God, I'm going to slap the shit out of him." So Mike goes up and screams at Adam. He's like, "Who the fuck do you think you are? She's a woman." I was like, yes. I can't. How are we cheering for Mike?
I know. Every now and then, Mike, because Mike has always had this thing where he's just so idiotic and so awful, and then he'll randomly have like moments of great moral clarity, and he's like, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are?" And so then MJ is like, to Reza, she's like, "You're the one who cheated on him. He cheated on you. It has nothing to do with..." She doesn't even finish her sentence, because then Reza yells down in front of the entire party of people who don't know them, "You had 10 abortions. Your uterus exploded because you had 10 abortions.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a low even for Reza. Wow.
Yeah.
Gigi's like rah-rah-rahing Reza. Gigi just said on the show she thinks she's having trouble with childbirth because she had abortions when she, like, why, how are you cheering on someone shaming a woman's right to choose or using that information like that? That's disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know how truthful whatever he said was.
It doesn't
but
even
it's
fucking
like,
matter. It's disgusting.
But it's like he is shaming her for that. You're right. And it was gross. It was, again, misogynist again. And by the way, I'm no medical professional, but I know enough that I'm not a medical professional. So I don't know if there's a link between what happened with her uterus and whatever procedure she may have had. And it's gross that he would also maybe even insinuate that on a national television level that you know, that could happen, you know, when he's not a doctor. I don't know how they're linked, but the whole thing was gross.
Yeah, really gross. It was really bad. And Mike's like, "What the fuck are you doing, bro?" So then Reza marches outside and he's screaming, "Fuck you people." then he goes into a bush, which I guess is production. It's like Tamara Barney in the bush. "Fuck you people, you motherfucking liars, fuck you." And Adam's like, "Honey." And then Adam's like a wet little dog with his comb over, like completely melted,
and
you know.
Towel, you know, he's still like hoping that he gets to go to the Good Humor truck after this. And Reza finds a production binder, I'm assuming, and just throws it, and all these papers go everywhere. And he's like, "Fuck you people, pieces of shit." And I'm assuming actually when he was saying "fuck you people," that he was actually yelling at the producers and the show.
Yeah, he was saying, "Fuck you, you motherfucking liars." So I guess they told him that she wasn't back or something, like she wasn't coming back to the show either. She wasn't coming back to the show, or she wasn't on the shoot list for this party. I don't know what it was, but apparently they told him she wasn't going to be there.
Whatever it is, I think that the punishment does not fit the crime in this case. But whatever Reza feels that MJ was up to, I think that his reactions to it have been so above and beyond. I'm not exonerating MJ. I'm saying that she's some sort of angel. But if she was in a hospital bed and she's your friend of 30 years and you're hearing gossip, you put the gossip to the side and you go be with your friend for like at least do that, you know. And then to go and just say these just horrific things. And she said bad things too at this party, but that was so crossing the line. It was terrible.
Well, I think that she was justified. I mean, she was saying nasty things, but she had already said that everybody... She had already said at that reunion last year that everybody knows that they have an open relationship or there's something like that. So it wasn't like that was really new information. She's just like, your husband cheated. Like, you're always cheating on each other. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Go be nasty, you know? Like, what are you yelling at me for? Your husband got caught cheating on you, and you're yelling at me? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because the debate is not really about whether or not naked Jenga happened. The debate is not whether or not Adam sent those pics to Allie. The debate is, was MJ trying to break shit up? Which is always, like, so annoying when there are these issues. This is what we saw Jax and what Jax and Brittany went through, which is when they went after James, right? It's never like, oh, it's like a deflection of what the real issue is, an anger that someone would dare to bring it up and to shake the foundation of a shoddy relationship. And she basically, like you said, she probably was like, you guys are always doing this, and now you're going to yell at me for stating something that everyone already knows, as if I'm trying to come for you when you guys are the ones that are always doing this.
Yeah. Yep. Really, really gross. Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. There we go. That's the end of the Shaws of Sunset. So, wow. How low can they go? We'll see. It's only episode 6. So
wow. Must-see TV. I'm like, I'm totally, totally into this season of Shaws. It's been a long time that I've been this into a season of Shaws. Like, this wrapped up in it. Who would have thought? Who would have thought I'd be more wrapped up in this than some of the other shows that we haven't been able to cover yet?
Well, I'd really like to see Reza get his due one day on this show. He has not really ever gotten it. People have tried, but he is so nasty that no one can come up against him. So I guess if anyone could, it's MJ.
It's MJ.
Yeah.
They actually kind of have an amazing relationship. The two of them, I don't know, is it perhaps Shakespearean? It's like Dangerous Liaisons or Cruel Intentions, like Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Philippe. I mean, no, it wasn't Reese. It was Ryan Philippe and Sarah Michelle Gellar, right? Like, they kind of have this a relationship that we've seen this so many times before in literature and other pieces of art. So to finally see it in reality TV in this way is kind of great.
Which is neither literature nor art.
No.
So there you go.
No. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to stop trying to elevate this discussion. The point is it's.
Yeah. It's everything you just mentioned is way too good for me to even bring that in.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I'm stopping myself. I was like, I already started, so I have to like see it through. And then now that the sentence is over, we're going to forget that I ever talked about it.
So I was like, I will not cast one of these people as Glenn Close. Okay, Glenn Close will not be playing either one of these people. That's it. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. We will talk to you tomorrow when we're back with Little Vanderpump Rules, okay? Go over, catch our bonus episodes on Patreon. We're going to record later this week, Love is Blind. That'll be up. And come to our Instagram live show on Thursday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, where we will cover the very last episode of the season of Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.